like to dismiss our children to Sunday school at this time. God has been dealing with me on this message for the last 2 weeks. Amen. I'd wake up in the middle of the night. I lived it for the last couple of weeks. And I believe it's for us this morning. If you'll turn to Acts, the second chapter, and verse 32. This is Peter's debut, preaching the best message he's ever preached. Isn't it amazing that this is the first message and it's the best message he ever preached? And verse 32, he says, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses." Amen. When you were filled with the Holy Ghost, you were a witness of God's resurrection in your life. And then if you go to chapter 1, Acts 1, and verse number 8, which is very familiar. "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." That could be Caledonia, Racine, Milwaukee, Kenosha. Amen. Have you ever, I've had the privilege, maybe not a privilege, but going to court and having to testify, got on the stand, and before I did that, I had to raise my right hand and promise to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Amen. And so I'm going to ask you to swear in church this morning. God said that he could swear to none other but himself because there was no higher. Jesus also said in Matthew that you should not swear to another, but only to swear unto God. And so the word swear means to take an oath. So this morning we're going to swear in witnesses as though you were on the stand, as you were in court. So while you're standing, please raise your right hand. And repeat after me, "I do solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth." So help me, God. Could you clap your hands to him? You may be seated, but remember, you're sworn in. Glory to God. According to Acts 1 and 8, the main reason God gave us the Holy Ghost, oh, there's all kinds of benefits. Oh, I love to feel the presence of God. I like to see what he does to help me in all these situations and the power that comes with the Holy Ghost. But the main reason is that I would become a witness. Oh, yes, there are many attributes and benefits, but the greatest purpose is that we become witnesses of both who he is and what he has done, not only in past in the Bible, but in our own lives. It's not surprising then that the first thing we want to do when we're filled with the Holy Ghost is somehow tell somebody about what happened. It's almost compelling. I've got to tell somebody the experience that I've had. I'm afraid when we get to the place where we don't want to tell anybody anymore that there's a deficiency in our spirituality. You see, God gives us this feeling of thirst. So we drink and not be dehydrated and die. I'm so busy, I don't think I'll drink for the next couple of days. God gives us this feeling of, I'm hungry. Because if we didn't have that feeling, perhaps it would be cheaper not to eat food. Take so much time in preparation and we'd simply die. But he gave us those feelings of thirst and hungry. Hallelujah. I think he gave me too much feeling for hunger. God also gives us a libido, which attracts us to the opposite sex. Or this world would not continue. Glory to God. Men would just stay in the woods all day hunting, and women would shop all the time if there wasn't this feeling like, I need a wife, I need a companion, you see. When God made Eve for Adam, he could have said, oh, a woman. Or he could have said, va-va-la-boom. That's for me. And if he hadn't had that feeling, you wouldn't be here. The whole... And there wouldn't be a perpetual church if God didn't give us this overwhelming desire. To tell somebody about Jesus and what he's done for me. You see how important it is to witness for the future of the church. Churches that don't grow don't witness. They come, they're satisfied with the song service and a little cute message. Ananias came to Paul after he was struck down on the road to Damascus, and he said in Acts 22 and 15, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And that's what he's called us to do. He's knocked down every one of us. He's arrested our attention. And then he said, do something with it. He did something miraculous in our life, a supernatural feeling when we were filled with the Holy Ghost. We can't deny it. Amen. A witness isn't just somebody who dresses modestly, although that's good, or somebody who is always faithful to church services, or who really loves the Word of God. No, a witness must open their mouth to tell what they saw and what they experienced. So you can be in the church all your life, you can be faithful to coming to services and the Word of God, but you're not a witness until you open your mouth to tell somebody about the goodness of God. Someone was ready to tell me the story and the experiences that they had with Christ, or I wouldn't be here, perhaps you wouldn't either. Paul prayed that he could always have an opportunity to open his mouth and declare the gospel. It didn't matter what he was going through. Every day he had a new jailer when he was in Rome handcuffed to him, and he thought himself happy because I got a fresh person that I could tell about God. Hallelujah. Turn to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And verse number 19, Paul is saying, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador. You know what an ambassador does? Hallelujah. In bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. God, give me the unction. Give me the desire. Make me an ambassador for you. Paul witnessed to King Agrippa while he was in prison of the experiences that he had on the road to Damascus. And I hope we don't stop witnessing because we went through some difficult times. I'll wait until God really blesses me. I'll wait until I get the new car. I wait until I get the new job. Then, no, you need to witness to God even in the worst times of your life. If you'll turn to Acts, the 26th chapter, verse number 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, he came in order to do the church evil. At midnight, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around about me. and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speak unto me and say in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for the purpose to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Why'd you knock me down? I mean, I wouldn't have picked Paul. Here Paul came with credentials in order to imprison the church, but he was so zealous to do these things. God said, just the kind of person I need. Someone who isn't afraid to be bold, to tell people what they ought to hear. And for this reason, I've made you a minister. How many ministers do we have in the house this morning? Every hand should go up, everyone. So why don't all people who are filled with the Holy Ghost witness? I know there are excuses. I'm just a very shy individual. I'm timid. I don't know enough scriptures. But one thing you know about your testimony. Is it because we fear rejection from people that we want to talk to? I know that's high on the level. I just don't want people to think differently of me or feel like I'm some kind of, you know, wacko. Or even the separation from our friends and separation from our family can stop us from opening our mouth. Do we really have a choice? It's what God's called us to do. Please don't get comfortable just coming to church. What we need to do is get out there. There is a whole missions field outside of these walls. You don't have to go to Africa or Asia or someplace else in order to be a witness. Amen. Your first duty is to the people you love the most. Amen. You see, from the moment we entered into the kingdom of God, we became that witness, whether we understand it or not. And the Greek word for witness, surprisingly, is martyr. And the word martyr means someone who gives up their old life for what they believe. Will you lay down your life for his, like he laid down his life for us? Will you take up your cross daily and follow him? Did you know that there is someone after you day and night to hurt you? There is. From the moment we entered into the kingdom of God, we also found out that we had a new enemy. The enemy is the devil, Satan. He never really bothered us before because we never gave him any kind of trouble. We never thought much about how evil he was, but now it's a different story. We've changed sides. Now all of a sudden, we get attacks on a regular basis. Take a look at Revelation, 12th chapter. Verse number 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. There are accusations brought before God of each and every one of us on a daily basis. A summons and complaint, and God ignores it, but sometimes we think that really we are guilty of some of the things we're accused of, and we're not. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, Paul saying, Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Glory to God. He wants us to come back. It would actually be quite a frightening thing to become a witness for Christ with such a powerful enemy waiting to destroy us. But the only thing that he has is a power of temptation. There's nothing powerful about him except the thoughts that he can put in your mind. That's it, folks. But when we become a new citizen of the kingdom of God, God gives us a new covenant to guard us, a new heart to guide us, and new mercies to forgive us, new power to sustain us, a new life to bless us, a new song to inspire us, and a new name to identify us. Amen. We have a brand new life. Hallelujah. All things are gone. Hallelujah. And he puts a fence around his church, his people, that evil can't get to us. You'll turn to 2 Corinthians. Very familiar. Chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what? He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, too many people drag their old life around with them. Oh, God wouldn't do this for me because remember how bad I was before. God's saying, no more. You become a new creature. Old things are passed away. It goes on to say, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling, or putting us back together, the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So in other words, because he doesn't charge us with old sin and problems, he's saying, okay, now you become the ambassador. You have a ministry of reconciliation, putting somebody's hand in the hand of God and showing them how merciful he is. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead to be ye reconciled to God. Amen. And then if you'll turn to Revelation, the 21st chapter, verse 5. It says, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Amen. You have to leave the past in the past. Paul said, there's one thing I know, forgetting those things in the past and pushing on to the high mark of the calling, Jesus Christ. When charges are brought against a person, many times it's circumstantial evidence that comes forth, all of which can be refuted in many ways. If you have ever saw a court proceedings, the prosecution brings all of these things that could have happened, but really it's subjective and not enough in order to convict. But you can't refute an eyewitness testimony. You see, we can tell people all about our church. We can tell them about our choir and our music and all of the ministries that we have in a church. And we can quote scripture to them. We could even take the word of God and show them right in the Bible where baptism doth also save us. And I've had this happen and people just shrug their shoulders and do absolutely nothing about it. But they cannot refute or deny our witness or testimony of what God has done in our life. I'm a new man. There's a new man walking in these shoes. He don't do the things he used to do. He doesn't go where he used to go. There's cancers healed and addictions and habits are gone. Families are put back together. Attitudes and desires are completely changed. Yes. Look at me. I'm a witness of what God can do. And the worst of you are the greatest witness. Hallelujah. You fell off a bar stool and got to an altar, and now people can hardly believe, how could you be what you are today? Hallelujah. John chapter 14. Verse number 8. This is a wonderful scripture talking about who Jesus is. He's trying to reveal himself to his disciples. And in verse 8, it says, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. You know, just bring him out, would you? Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? I don't believe you because I see you. There are people who walk into this church and they see the congregation of the righteous. People who are loving God, they are sincere. When I first came to church, I thought, I don't know if this is the way, but I know one thing. These people really love God. But it didn't convince me. Verse 10 says, Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Yeah, somebody showed me the word of God. But it wasn't enough to convince me that I needed to live for God. Verse 11, Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. When they see the miracles, when you see the change, now all of a sudden, we see Jesus like we've never seen him before. We see the Word of God. Like we've never seen him before. A day where I never wanted to pick up this book, and now I never want to put the book down. The day I never wanted to go to church, but now I can't wait until we go to church. Something has changed within me. God has given me an appetite, a thirst, and a desire for more of him, and that's the purpose for the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Amen. We can lose that. I just want to hold on until Jesus comes. You may not be able to hold on unless you get involved. Each of us have all of the evidence against the enemy. We know scripture like most churches don't know. The devil knows, we know, he will be charged by God and will be sentenced to the lake of fire. Whenever he accuses us of our future, we need to tell him about his. Therefore, he would like to destroy us physically and spiritually. Put roadblocks in our life and temptations in our life that we say, it's just too hard to live for God. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard, not the way of the saint. Hallelujah. He is the accuser of the brethren, the Bible says, day and night. Every day, there is a new temptation. Come on down. I've got a new situation for you, you know. I can give you fame. I can give you love. I can give you. He tries to tempt us to come out from the church and to go live back for him again. His pension plan for us is eternal punishment in the lake of fire. God's got a better pension program for us, folks. But one day, We change sides and are ready to be a witness against him, yet he won't give up trying to get us as long as we're in the flesh, so we need some protection from him. So God has a plan to protect each of us from any attack from the enemy. Now listen to this. God puts us in a witness protection program. Ever hear of that? You know, you testify against some really bad person, and they want to kill you because it's only your testimony that can put them in jail. So somehow they put you in a witness protection where the evil can't get to you. Amen. If you'll turn to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, starting in 14, Paul says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath unrighteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Baal? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel or a non-believer? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" That's us, folks. "For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore," or the whole purpose of all this is, "come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, and will be your father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." So you have to come away into witness protection in order to survive the attacks. Witness protection program. Get out while you can and stay out. So there are rules when you go into witness protection. Number one, they change your name. You don't have the old name again. When I was baptized in Jesus' name, I got a new name, a new identity. Revelation 2 and 17 says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saying, he that receiveth." So nobody knows your new name. If they don't know your name, they can't get to you. We get this new name in witness protection. We know it, but the enemy can't find us because of our new name. Number two, you also get a new background story to tell others. You don't go back to tell them about your old life, because that will allow the enemy to come in. But God gives us a brand new backstory, and we lived it. "Therefore, if any man go into witness protection, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new." It's for your safety. Three, when you get a new birth certificate. The old birth certificate doesn't mean anything, but you get a brand new birth certificate when you're born of the water and born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. All your debt is now forgiven going into witness protection. No penalties for past crimes, and there is a lifetime of support for you if you will stay in the program. But walk out of the program. Now there's no support. There is no protection. Protection under the program is provided for a lifetime here, as long as you don't go back to the old life. I've seen people who voluntarily got out of the witness protection, and their life is a mess. Hallelujah. Why leave when everything is provided for you, when all of the protection is there for you? under the program, you are not allowed to associate with those of your former life. Now, this may be the hardest part of the rules for the witness protection. There may even be family members that consider you dead because of your new life. Completely ostracized, if you will. That is the hardest obstacle of all, but it is for your protection. I couldn't understand when we came into the church, my wife and I, and we were excited to tell my parents and her parents that immediately they rejected us. In fact, we were not in any kind of communication for 3 years with her parents. We had little kids. They couldn't see the grandkids. They took the key back to their house, took us out of their will. Why? Because we wanted to live righteously. They even said, I'd rather have you on drugs or alcohol than to going to that church. Why? Because we're in witness protection. Turn to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Starting in verse 34, Jesus said, think not that I have come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. You need to understand that. Just because you're in the church doesn't mean that everybody's going to love what you love. It's not going to happen, folks. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Really? Do you know why that is? Because the greatest tool the enemy has is for you to be separated from the people that you love because of this truth. And if he can do that, then he can separate you and take you out of the witness protection program. But it says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Everything is upside down. Have I ever regretted going into a lifelong protection program with Christ? No, because it saved my life. And it's given me benefits that I could never have ever received had I not gone into the program. There are blessings that I have received and you have received that you didn't deserve. I wonder how many times God saved your life, whether it's an accident or he took a cancer out of your body. How many times? All because you said, I'll go into your program. I'll be separated from some people. Hallelujah. Now here's the scary part. You can leave the witness protection program whenever you want. Nobody forces you to stay. The Secret Service will allow you to go. God has stationed angels around each and every one of us. And when you decide, I'm not going back to the church, they're just, the restrictions are so difficult. They're not, folks. Then God says, dismiss the angels, the Secret Service. It's not a forced program. Oh, but I miss the old life and my old friends. Sure. But you'll have so many new friends and so much better life. As soon as you leave, the enemy will find you. And you won't have any protection any longer. Church, we have to stay in God's program. He has provided a safe place for us. If we'll only stay and conform. I found all of the benefits of witness protection in a scripture yesterday. And if you'll turn to the Old Testament, Psalms 91. Now listen to it. This is what he is willing to do if you'll stay in that place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrows that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noontime. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh to thee. Aren't you glad you're in the program? Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh to thy dwelling. Oh, I love this program. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Long life. Well, I don't know if I can continue this way. This says you can. Hallelujah. A lot of you don't understand. You've been living under this protection all your church life. And you could get to the very end and walk away and be destroyed. Pharaoh's army wanted to destroy the Israelites. But God said, you know what, I'll tell you what. I'm going to put you under a witness protection program. And the army came full force against them, but they couldn't follow them once they passed through the water. If you have not been baptized in Jesus' name, you need to pass through the water. And as soon as you do, you get into the witness protection program and all of these benefits, and all of your past debt is gone. You get a brand new name. You get a spirit that gives you the power in order to live for God. Hallelujah. Who would not want all of this protection, all of these benefits in Jesus' name? Have you been thinking about what you would want from God this morning? You could just ask the Secret Service, there's some things I still need. And they'll deliver for you. He shall send his angels. Hallelujah. The only scripture that the devil ever quoted was that scripture in Luke, the 4th chapter. Yeah, he shall send his angels to guard over thee. Why? Because he hates that scripture. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? What do you want from God? Don't tell me everything is perfect in your life, because it's not. It's not in mine. I'm living the best I can for God, but there are things that I need from God. But just standing there isn't going to do it. They all stood around blind Bartimaeus, but blind Bartimaeus made a move. I got to believe he walked towards where he thought Jesus was, and then he started crying out. It's a responsibility now that you're in a program that God provide for you the things that you need. And it would be foolish to say, well, maybe next week or maybe tonight. This morning, God can give you another testimony of his goodness. The altar is open. Would you come?